What's happening, you tech heads? Welcome to Techotastic, an ETA Cast Network podcast. I'm Chris. We're going to go ahead and kick off episode 2. It's going to be all about CES 2016. Thanks for joining us. You can follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/ETA Cast. Also, you can write to us if you have any suggestions or topics for the show. That's techotastic@outlook.com. So before I talk about CES 2016, I want to talk briefly about Windows 10 on the phone. I have a Lumia 1020, and when I was in the UK, I decided to test out Windows 10. It was very, very much unpolished at the time, and that was roughly about 8 months ago. So last week, I decided to give it another go. I've been hearing good things about it. My buddy updated it, and he told me that, you know, everything's fine, it feels great. So I took the plunge and I updated it. It was a much easier process than 8 months ago. My phone didn't brick out or anything like that, which is great. It definitely happened the first time I updated it, and took me probably about 8 hours to troubleshoot it and to get my phone back. But I'm happy to say Windows 10, at least the beta build that all the Windows Phone 8 users that Microsoft has out, is it's nice. It's got some really nice features. Yeah, there's the occasional performance issues as far as going to the start screen and unlocking the phone, kind of reminiscent of Windows Phone 7. I'd imagine once the final build is out, once the final build gets out, once again, I'm running it on a Lumia 1020, so I'm using the Windows Insider app, and I'm selecting the Fast Track one, so I'm getting the latest beta builds. But yeah, there's some really nice functions. You can hold down the Windows key, and it puts it in this sort of small screen mode, which is kind of take it for granted at first, but you realize how many times you just whip out your smartphone and then you have like a coffee in your other hand and you're thumbing through it, but yet the things that are on the far side of the screen are hard to press. Sometimes you might drop your phone or whatever, but this sort of eliminates that because it puts in the small screen. What else? The notifications are much better, much more intuitive. Someone texts you, you can send them a reply straight from the drop-down menu, which is really cool. You can also check out more details, like if someone texts you, instead of a few lines, you can sort of click down on it and see the whole text message. There's a lot more notifications in there as well, and there's a lot more customizations and the personalization features, like setting your transparency on your tiles and putting a background image on there, on either your tile or the background itself. Skype seems to be more integrated, which is cool, and they're staying true to their word as far as unifying the store, because some of my purchases on Windows 10, I was pleasantly surprised that it worked flawlessly on the Windows Phone 10 store. So if I purchased Hitman Go, it just said, you know, install. Which is really great. I mean, that's what they're really going for, is to is to make an unfragmented playing field. And these devices that we have nowadays are very much like the devices that we got 5-6 years ago. As far as desktop, I mean, 4 gigs of RAM, 6 gigs of RAM was like very much a good standard. I mean, 4 gigs of RAM for a consumer was a great standard 5 years ago. Now I'd say it's more around 8, but once again, you know, like, things are becoming more efficient, so we're getting that technology condensed and aggregated. All right, so if you have a Windows phone, I highly recommend you upgrading it. I suspect Microsoft is going to release the final build anyways soon. I'm recording this on January 9th, 2016. Check it out. Yeah, give it a go. And if you're skeptical, go on, I think it's Windows Phone Central. You just type that in your favorite search browser, and they have a lot of videos. There's a really good podcast on there all about Windows Phone. All right, let's talk about CES 2016. Man, I really want to go to CES. I mean, it is the amusement park of all new tech. It's almost like the old-timey world fairs where they would bring this technology, like, oh, check out this new light bulb, and everyone would be amazed, and they'd go ride Ferris wheel rides and this, that, and the other. Long time ago, but we still keep that up as a civilization because we want to get everyone together in one space and go, what do you guys got? What's going on here? And you see a lot of really zany stuff at CES, but you also see a lot of pioneering technology that comes out of CES and stuff that are very much prototypes that you'll really never see for a long time. But this year, I saw a lot of stuff that consumers are going to go ahead and buy. It's going to be relevant in the next couple of years. It wasn't a lot of prototype. There's a lot of prototype cars that I saw, a lot of self-driving cars, of course, and that's still probably 10 years off to being a standard and to being laws need to be written in and this, that, and the other. But it will go to the side of self-driving cars are safer than humans, and I'd give that 10 years. So on that side, that was like the more prototype stuff. But let's talk about the consumer stuff that we're gonna buy in the next couple of years. So 4K TVs are making a huge, huge impact in 2016, it looks like. And really in 2015, you can buy a 4K TV. It's relatively expensive, probably around $4,000. However, it's gonna be more of a standard, like the HD boom that we all experienced in the mid 2000s. Where TVs were proclaiming, hey, this is full HD, this is it, this is full HD. And we really didn't think it can get any better at that time. 1080p and 1080i, and eventually 1080p won. But from the scale of 720p and 1080p, we're like, wow, this is great. All right, this looks like real life. But we got 4K TVs now becoming that standard, and if you look at it, that's only a 10-year difference. So in 10 years from then, we're gonna have all like crazy. It's gonna be times 4K times 4. So we're gonna probably 8K stuff, but 4K is gonna be that standard, that full HD. It's gonna have that little tag on it where it says 4K on it. And what it's gonna do for technology, it's gonna shift in the way of we're gonna have to get new cable boxes. In order to enjoy the latest and greatest content from Netflix, for instance, the 4K option is going to be enticing, so we're going to want to buy that TV. Games undoubtedly look better in 4K. Games look incredible in 4K because the motion and the 60 frames per second is just wicked. What that's going to do for gaming consoles, however, it's going to put a big hamper on Microsoft and Sony. They're going to have to adapt to that, and who knows what they're going to do about that. Maybe they have to release new hardware. So 4K is going to be a big thing in as far as we're going to have to upgrade things. We're going to have to get new things to adapt to this new technology. When the Blu-rays came out, for instance, especially on computers, the graphics cards at the time, some of them didn't support HDCP and some of them did. And as the year was going on, when it was becoming more and more relevant that people wanted, they wanted to play Blu-ray movies on their computer, more and more graphics cards decided to get this sort of firmware, get this sort of hardware on their chip, so it would support this. And the monitor had to support it too, right? You know, the monitor especially. And a lot of people didn't understand that. And so we had it's sort of a growing pain when a new piece of technology comes out. We have to upgrade it in some sort of way, have to get this new wire. And we're going to talk about new wires and this, that, and the other, because it's still happening to us. Proprietary technology especially is detrimental to the consumers. You know, when something breaks and someone else, and what proprietary means in technology size, that means that only a connector works on that piece of device, right? For instance, for instance, your alarm clocks and your laptop chargers, these are proprietary plugs. Sure, you might be able to find something that might work with it, but essentially it's proprietary, okay? It's not universal. What's universal? USB, right? USB is universal. Headphone jack is universal. Power outlet, power plug is universal. These things are helpful for consumers because we don't necessarily have to buy that particular brand, or we don't necessarily have to buy that exact item, right? That has to work for that device. Only that device. I can't charge my phone with an iPhone lightning jack. It only works with iPhone, right? So I forgot what that rant was about, but proprietary tech is definitely detrimental to consumers. So yeah, 4K TVs, it's going to be interesting to see the growing pains. It's going to be a little bit easier this time around because we already have infrastructure. We already have the nice graphics card. It's not like the 4K TVs are introducing a new connector. We're still going to use HDMI. So in that aspect, we're going to be okay. And Netflix streams 4K over the internet. But in that regard, you're going to have to get a faster internet speed. If you're running only 15 megabits per second, it's going to be kind of questionable if you can stream that. Growing pains with tech. Good old CES. All right, let's move on from the 4K TVs and the standard of it and what it's going to do to technology. And let's talk about another TV that's going to come out that's kind of blowing everyone away. It's the foldable LG display, 18-inch display. Now, LG showed this off as an OLED screen, which is an organic light emitting device screen that could be rolled up like a newspaper. It's super thin. I think it's 0.8 millimeters thick. Yeah, I think so. But people say it looks incredible. I saw the video of it, you know, and people, you see it actively folding up and the display is showing a video. Reminds me though of 5, 6, 7 years ago when I saw this already. I already saw all this stuff. OLED screens has been around for a while, and we've had them in our phones. It's just our phones itself that, you know, they have to remain so thick because of all the hardware inside of it itself, not necessarily because of the screen. And OLED one offers super deep black to begin with, but it seems that LG is sort of touting this off as being a consumer display this time around. 5 to 7 years ago, this was out at CES, but it was a proto super small. It was, you know, 4 inches wide, and they only had one of these damn things, you know. So it was super prototype then. So it's cool to see it now and to see it actually like on its final package, if you will. Looks cool. Gonna be expensive. There's a lot of applications for it. We'd probably see it on the commercial side a lot more. So we'll see what happens. Definitely see what happens, especially when it gets integrated to the devices that we have now. I mean, I can't imagine how it's going to work with a TV. I don't really know why you would need to fold up your TV and stuff and move it around, but maybe for a phone, you know, if it's integrated on a phone, you can carry it in your back pocket, it's never gonna break and stuff. It's cool stuff, definitely very cool. So the foldable displays are gonna be very cool in relation to how it's gonna play out to the technology that we have now, the devices that we have now. So besides CES 2016, 2016 itself is gonna be a big year for virtual reality. Those that don't know right now, Oculus Rift announced that their price is gonna be $600 for the consumer. It's gonna come with an Xbox One controller. People are saying it's too high. I think that this is the first piece of technology as far as the consumers that we can get. So their price point of $600, I mean, they can put it at $1,000 and say, too bad, so sad, really. $600 isn't that bad for a new piece of technology. I mean, look at the PS3 when it first came out. It was $600. That wasn't anything new. It was just they called it a supercomputer because it had the Cell processor, and it cost them too much money. As well as them releasing the price point, they also release a computer compatibility hardware detector to see if your computer is ready to run Oculus. It's up there. A lot of people are going to find themselves, they're going to need to upgrade. So for the graphics card, first off, you're going to need a GTX 970 or an AMD 280 equivalent or greater, of course. So we're talking, that's the standard. Okay, this is all the standard of it. For the processor, you're going to have to be running a Intel i5 fourth generation equivalent or greater. I already failed out on both those things, the processor and the graphics card. RAM, you're going to have 8 gigs or more. Compatibility, you're going to have HDMI 1.3 video output. So your actual output is going to have to change as well. It's going to have the latest and greatest on that. And you're going to have two USB 3.0 ports running Windows 7 Service Pack 1 or greater. So yeah, definitely you can tell they're not playing around. They want to make sure that everyone is running this thing at optimal, that no one has a bad experience. A lot of people are going to have to upgrade. I know my buddy Sam is going to go into the process of making his Rift machine. Myself, I'm going to see how it plays out. I'm going to give it probably like 5 years before I even want to build a computer to that magnitude. I mean, 5 years from now, we're going to have, man, processors are going to be fucking way better than right now. But I am excited for virtual reality. Especially Oculus Rift, I think that they're pulling it off the right way. The way they've been showing it off, the way they've been showing the reaction videos, everything looks really solid with it. My brother has been working with it. He's been making a VR game. I mean, just seeing people play Skyrim with it, and they're jumping off a cliff, and they're getting so damn scared. It's fucking hilarious. Definitely reminds me of those rides at theme parks where they would try to immerse you in this huge screen. I remember one in particular in Busch Gardens. I can't remember. I think it was like Akbar's Adventure or something like that. I don't know. And not only that, I definitely remember playing old-timey virtual reality games where you'd have to step into a massive booth and they'd sort of strap you in this autonomous way so you can run freely and move around and blah, blah, blah. And it was very weird in the fact that it worked. And I remember playing the Star Wars game at Busch Gardens, actually. It was kind of cool, though. It worked just like Oculus, but it was way shittier, you know? Like, there was a lot of latency. There's a lot of problems with it. And it sort of died out. That was in the 90s. It sort of died out, and then people realized that the technology that we have now, hey, we can actually do this stuff that we played at Busch Gardens, that we played at a mall. Definitely excited for it. I hope that there's going to be little booths. I mean, hey, shout out to the virtual reality arcade. Let's get it going here, you know. Spend $10, play all day, I don't know. Play virtual reality all day. Oculus Arcade. So here's an article from CES. They're basically saying that virtual reality, the industry, is to generate $5.1 billion just in 2016. That's what it's expecting to generate. As we know, Facebook adopted Oculus Rift, and we have big players like John Carmack, huge developers really behind this technology. And it's going to give a nice big boom to PC gaming itself. Just in general, these people are going to be having upgraded machines. They're going to have Oculus, and they're going to want to play other games too. They're going to want to jump on other games as well. So it's going to really help out the PC community, I feel. And also, the company is offering bundles where they're including Oculus Ready PC and the Rift itself for $14.99, $1,500. It's really not too bad. They're giving you a machine that's going to run Oculus Rift. Not only that, it's a computer, so you can upgrade it. And they're giving you the Rift itself. I think the bundle itself is a better price point than the individual piece of hardware. Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to see Oculus Rift. I know Sony is making, I think Project Morpheus is what they're calling it right now. There's other virtual reality things coming out for sure. It's gonna be awesome to see that whole new device, the whole new platform. Hopefully it doesn't suck us in, you know, we all get just super consumed by it, we never take it off. Like Sword Art Online or Ready Player One. Hey, maybe it'll happen, who knows? Who knows? The technology is getting there, it really is. I mean, this thing, there's virtual reality porn now. There's actually porn where you're controlling where you're looking around. It's fucking wild. Right, those are the big headlines in CES 2016 that I found to be interesting myself. Something controversial is happening again with Apple. Poor Apple. Always happening to them. Always. I wonder why. Because they're not actually doing what's good for their customers. They're doing what's good for their hardware maker, for their pockets. So Apple's biggest controversy lately is they might kill the 3.5mm headphone jack on their new iPhone that's coming out. They're going to axe that jack that we all know, that we all use. for any head or headphone jack. So just a whole new technology, just like what they did with their old charger, where they were like, hey, we got this new lightning jack, and yeah, that was understandable. It really was. It needed to happen. But now they're wanting to axe out the headphone jack and just have headphone makers make this new, you know, connecting device. And who knows, maybe it might actually increase the quality. But I think just to take that out, just to not ever give the option for people, just in case their headphones break, hey, can I borrow your headphones? Yeah, here you go. Oh, this is not the lightning jack one. No, dude, no. It's not. I got headphones. So you're going to have to buy probably 3 pairs just in case it happens to you. I don't know. I've been seeing a lot of backlash as far as people are saying why? Why do this? We've all acquired headphones in our life. We all know, you know, the best ones that we like and this and the other. Why make us upgrade or even have to, you know, people are saying you just use Bluetooth. Well, even that, how many of your freaking headphones are Bluetooth? I got a nice pair of headphones and it's removable 3.5 millimeter jack on the headphones itself. You can plug in the other side just in case someone wants to listen to your music without taking off your headphones or without putting on the speaker. Nice, you know? And what I see happening is a lot of adapters coming out where the lightning jack plugs into your iPhone and the female connector is going to be a 3.5 millimeter. So you're going to have just another, just more fucking wires everywhere. I think that's a bad, unintuitive way to approach new technology in your hardware. It's just a standard. It's just a given that everyone knows that plug. Everyone knows, you don't necessarily know the size. Well, now you do if you're listening to this 3.5 millimeter jack. But that's the universal size of any headphone plug. Plugs in anywhere. It's just a shame that they want to axe that out and force people to adapt that way. Who knows? Maybe they won't do it. Maybe they'll look at all the feedback and go, it's not a good idea. We'll see. Well, time will tell. The new iPhone comes out soon. I'm sure the next one comes out 2 months after that. So a part of CES, cars are becoming more and more irrelevant, which is cool because computers are being more integrated with computers and self-driving devices. Toyota had a hydrogen car that, of course, runs on water. Jeez, that was a tongue twister. looks kind of zany. Looks weird. It's kind of like a submarine or something. This looked cool. This really caught my gear heart, if you will. This is the Ford 2017 GT. Oh man, it's beautiful. Beautiful car. Whew. I don't like the grille though. The grille kind of looks chintzy, but it looks rugged. It looks sleek. Very nice. Definitely reminiscent of the Ford GT, the old one. Looks great. God, hope I. It's coming out again, apparently. It's going to be racing at Le Mans this year. Check that out, for sure. So yeah, CES 2016 wrapped up. Some really cool technology, like I said. It was awesome to see a lot of technology that consumers are definitely going to get their hands on. It's not just prototype stuff. And maybe that's the new trend at CES. The most exciting thing I'm excited for, personally, is probably the Oculus Rift. I think if they really, really push it, if they push it on people big time, they can put it out in masses like no other. I mean, we're talking, people are like a sensation, how the Wii was when the Wii came out and it engrossed all these new gamers, kind of like that, but in a, like 10 times way. If they do that, they push it in that angle of, hey, come on and play the Oculus Rift for like a couple hours and you don't necessarily have to buy it. You know, just come out to the Oculus Rift Arcade. I think that'll be a big sensation, and it'll help virtual reality in general. It'll help gaming in general. Not that it needs help. Not that it needs any more money. But I think that just a new facet of entertainment. It's exciting. Definitely exciting. And engaging people, because I honestly feel playing games brings out creativity, brings out problem solving, brings out diplomacy in people, really. Just brings out the best in people. When you play a video game by yourself and you really engage yourself, you have an experience for sure. And this is a whole new way to experience entertainment. It's going to be really exciting. Let me know if you guys have a 4K TV or Oculus Rift or or your thoughts about the Apple axing the 3.5 millimeter jack. Write to us at techotastic@outlook.com. I'll be sure to read your emails on the show, and I definitely want to engage just a whole technology community with this podcast. That's my goal with it. And I want to thank everyone for listening to episode one. Had some downloads in Ireland, had some downloads in the United Kingdom, and some plays in Canada. Really exciting stuff. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and say my outro. I wrote it down. Let me know what you guys think. Here we go. Thanks for tuning in to Techotastic, where we love technology just as much as you. Have a suggestion or topic for the show? Write to us at techotastic@outlook.com, and please follow us on Facebook for all things ETAcast. That's facebook.com/ETAcast. Yeah, all right. Check out the next episode, Techotastic, next week. We'll do this one weekly for sure. We'll see you next time, and be sure to check out my other podcast, Trust Me, I Have a Beard. Cheers. Have a good one. A Techotastic day.